Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
For just a few moments, let's suppose. Let's suppose that a certain judge in your city faces an indigent who was accused of a crime, and that this unfortunate individual has only a court-appointed attorney. Furthermore, the defendant has a surly disposition, the kind that just by looking at the person, you just know he committed the crime. Sure enough, in almost record time, the judge says guilty as he slams down his gavel and pronounces a rather harsh sentence. But as observers notice, when someone with money, education, and good attorneys, as well as good family connections, faces the judge, this person almost always gets off free. Or if the person is guilty, the sentence is only a slight slap on the wrist. We want justice, we scream. But where does this idea of justice come from? That we even conceive of justice and injustice is a reflection of the fact that we are made in God's image. And the farther away we are from God, the more warped will be our concept of what is just and unjust. God could not be righteous or upright if he was unjust or inconsistent in his dealings with people. Though he is a God of mercy, he is also a God of justice. Several times in the Bible, we are told that there is no respect of persons with God. Romans 2:11 says, God does not show favoritism. Colossians 3 says, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Our concept of justice in the Western world is based on Judeo-Christian principles, ones which Catholics, Jews, and Christians of all stripes and sorts agree to, namely that there is a supreme judge of the universe to whom man is accountable, and that certain issues are right and wrong, and those who violate them pay the ultimate consequences. Even in civil law, justice demands that someone judge, that someone say, this is right, that is wrong, something that we have become very hesitant to do, lest we offend someone, or leave the impression that the mentality of, I'm okay, you're okay too, is not really okay at all. For centuries, churches and religious institutions were bastions of justice and champions of right and wrong. But too often their moral voices have been muffled with fear that someone, perhaps a major contributor, would not respond warmly to the reality that God is a just God, and that his wrath is just as much part of his nature and personality as is his mercy and love. Surprised that I've said this? You shouldn't be. A secular publication decried, houses of worship have become basketball courts and bingo parlors and places in which to serve a wedding dinner. Not all of them, of course. Now, a final thought on a rather heavy subject. The reality that God ultimately enforces justice both comforts and concerns. To know that someday God has his payday is a comfort, especially when I see so much injustice in the world. But the flip side of that is the reality that I, too, am accountable to a just God who knows my actions and thoughts better than I myself do. A study of the Bible shows clearly that my timetable and God's are vastly different. Sometimes I mistakenly assume that injustice triumphs in the world. It doesn't. What I think is so flagrantly needing retribution hasn't escaped God's notice. Yes, indeed. God has his payday someday. Just be patient.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.